afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Dave Allen is my co-host today as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, July 29th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Monday, Melody.
Happy Monday to you, too. And we had a happy Monday in gold today also. Right now, we're trending up. Let me just double check to make sure these numbers are going to stay in the New York spot price aftermarket. You got gold 740 to the upside at $1,426. Silver up 7 pennies at 16.52. Platinum was up $16 at 884. And palladium was up 23 at 1,559. The USDX today was up 0.03 at 98.02. Crude oil was up 80 cents at $57. I love seeing gold when we have an upward trend in the dollar. Because if gold is moving up along with the dollar, that means when they reverse the dollar, the spring has sprung. Is that what I was going to say, Dave?
That's what you did say.
The spring of gold is beginning to take off, so I do like to see that, it's becoming more of a trend than just a one-day wonder, and we'll have to go through the week to see how it goes. And, of course, I guess Wednesday's the big day. Everybody's holding their breath for the rate increase, but the Dow is up 28 points today. 27,221. The NASDAQ was down 36 at 8,293. Along with the S&P was down 5 at 3,020. 10-year yield 2.06%. European Asian markets were fairly quiet. Heck, even Hong Kong, after all their violent demonstrations, was only down a little over 1%. And everything is just flowing along just smoothly and without a hiccup. And everybody is... don't worry, be happy. It's summer, and everybody's away. No one's paying attention, and that's okay. We are, and those of you who are listening is paying attention. And it's going to be a big week this week. There's a lot of reports coming out, and probably the busiest week for the world's economies this year. And, of course, the big highlight is the Fed's decision on Wednesday about the markets, and economists virtually united in predicting that Jerome Powell is going to cut interest rates for the first time in more than a decade. 10% of Fed watchers predict officials will cut their benchmark by half a percentage point. 80% believe they'll cut by a quarter point. They will also likely leave open the possibility of further action. And, most economists believe the broader question is going to be how the Fed telegraphs its intention regarding additional easing. And the Feds begin their meeting tomorrow, they have some more data that they're going to have to use to assess the economy. It'll have the personal income, pending home sales, and consumer confidence statistics are all due that morning, Dave.
Yeah, and then on Thursday, the ISM manufacturing report's expected to show that industry is stabilizing and continuing to expand. Friday's trade data will be poured over for evidence that the war with China is having some effect or another. The Fed rate meeting, though, isn't the only event this week with the ability to shape the outlook for the global economy the rest of this year. Significantly, U.S. Trade Rep Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin leave today for China for the first high-level face-to-face trade talks between the world's two biggest economies since they broke down in May. Then on Friday, the monthly payrolls report will shed light on whether the Fed's, that's the official government report, we'll hear from the ADP and Moody's on Wednesday, but monthly payrolls report will shed light on whether the Fed's move this Wednesday was necessary. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg predict a 166,000 gain in non-farm jobs in July, slower than the 224,000 of June.
You know, it's going to be interesting. Doug Nolan's going to be in the new in our newsletter along with your article, Dave. And, you know, he talks about fanning the flames, the Federal Reserve. And he talks about how the Federal Reserve has basically abandoned the data dependent, at least for this week's meeting. Then it all remains to be seen how it's going to happen, you know, after. You know, after this, and it's true, if you go through, you know, yeah, we see there's a lot of the manufacturing is weak, and he thinks that the Fed actually made a mistake by pre-committing to next week's cuts. But, so, you know, it is, if you base it on the data that they give us, and we're going to talk about some of this data that's not as rosy as it all seems, but if you use the government's numbers, there's no reason why the Fed should actually lower rates. You know, so, and their only excuse is to get ahead of the recession. Wow. And basically what he talks about, and he even talks about inflation, and there's plenty of inflation to go around. And he, you know, he does talk about how deficits do matter. And even Alan Greenspan weighed in on everything. And so, you know, the Fed is fanning the flames of the bubble that they have created, this massive bubble. And I know you're going to be writing about negative rates. So, you know, it's all hand in hand, and this is the direction that we're going. And it does matter. It does matter about our debt. It does matter that there's no control and that it's just, you know, and it's so obvious now, Dave. At least they used to play the little game where you'd have a few Republicans coming out with the warnings of, well, if you do this and you do that, this is what's going to happen. And, you know, the Ron Pauls of the world, the Rand Pauls of the world, you know, some of those truly fiscal Republicans would used to come out and at least give us lip service. Now, they don't even give us that. They just go along, sign things, and, you know, hey, we'll worry about it later.
I guess they've run out of chapstick, Melody.
I guess.
Yeah, it's quite, you know, it would almost be amusing if it weren't such a problem and actually so scary in terms of how it's going to affect everyday Americans and everyday citizens around the world. But these are the times we live in.
Yeah, as long as I've been doing this, and I probably said this almost every program for the past, you know, how many years, it never ceases to amaze me how people just don't seem to care. That they're just so, I don't know. I mean, there's never been any outrage in anything that goes on, and particularly when it comes to finances. And I guess it's all because if that stock market stays high, there's a relative sense of comfort, confidence. And that's what they need you to feel, confidence, confident that the stock market is going to continue to stay, that government will do everything possible. That's the government's way of buying you out. You know, that's a carrot that they dangle in front of you. So you go along with the program no matter what. Knowing that, you know, they're going to help you keep your, you know, your retirement accounts, your pension accounts, keep them safe. Anyway, because everybody does, you know, we talk about fear. Well, you know, there's a lot of ways to have fear, and I know a lot of people are in fear of losing. But instead of doing something about their savings, they'd rather depend on the government. That's scary. But
and you thought it was going to be just another ho-hum week in the markets.
Yeah. The Bank of Japan policymakers, they meet tomorrow. Calls to reinforce their commitment to low rates. And Brazil's central bank, they may cut rates on Wednesday. Thursday sees the release of global manufacturing data amid concerns. Many industries are already suffering recession. You have next Wednesday. The Treasury will say how much money it needs to borrow amid the rising budget deficits. Yeah, well, of course they're going to lower rates. That's why, because they couldn't afford it if they stick it. I mean, this is economy, you know, economics 101, and yet, yeah, anyway.
And they say the Fed's independent.
Yeah. It's also a big week for data for after the European Central Bank President Mario Draghi last week paved the way again to cut rates in September, also relaunch a bond buying program. So tomorrow is set to witness another decline in the euro area confidence, while the following day is likely to confirm that the economy slowed in the second quarter.
Well, inflation data the same day, Melody, is expected to show consumer price growth languishing well below the ECB's targets, European Central Bank, of just below 2%. And Thursday, we get Purchasing Managers Index. The UK, the Bank of England, also publishes its latest forecast on Thursday, with a number of economists now predicting it'll turn more dovish as the October 31st Brexit deadline nears, with newly selected Prime Minister Boris Johnson now at its helm. And we've got things in the Czech Republic and Turkey, and, you know, this is just not a United States phenomenon, is it, Melody?
No, it isn't. And, you know, you have banks across the Persian Gulf region will probably move to ease if the Fed cuts as expected. And so, yeah, we're seeing this everywhere. But you know what? It's going to be the Fed's vote that counts, Fed's decision that counts, and it will cover up everything else. And I don't think it's ever been so synchronized before.
Well, we'll see.
Can you ever remember a time when it was so synchronized with all the global banks, central banks?
I cannot. I cannot, because I don't think there's ever been another time like this.
So, in some respects, ladies and gentlemen, if you talk about a world order, well, this is looking at you right in the face. So, anyway. I saw today where President Trump had made a comment that he doesn't think that there will be any trade agreements with China, regardless of the negotiators, because he thinks that China's going to wait the election out, thinking they're going to get a weaker president.
Interesting campaign strategy. You know, as negotiators from the U.S. and China prepare for a new round of trade talks in Shanghai this week, it's a good time for an economic reality check heading into the meetings that start tomorrow. You know, everyone loses when the world's two largest economies slap tariffs upon tariffs on each other. You know, we've talked a lot over the last 2 years about tit for tat. And now the slump to 2.1% growth in the second quarter U.S. GDP that was unveiled on Friday was attributable largely to stalling business investment due to trade war fueled uncertainty. And we'll talk more about this in later on in today's program, about how much of their cash these public companies have been reinvesting by buying their own stocks back. You know, China, where the growth has slowed to 6.2%, a similar pattern has emerged. You know, the fallout's more chronic, though, than acute. I mean, in sports terms, the injury is more like a concussion than a blown out knee. Tariffs sting, but the bigger blows are hits to investment, confidence, and growth. Yet, I wonder, you know, a long time ago, someone asked me, what would you rather have, a broken arm or a broken leg? It's a good question. You know, both have serious consequences, and I see the same thing here for this ongoing beefed up trade war.
I can't imagine what your conversation was about that somebody asked you that question.
Oh, you know, it could have been over one of my carpal tunnel surgeries. Who knows anymore? Some kind of comment about, well, you know.
But you know, I think you're right. But you don't see much changes in confidence, and we'll see when we get the confidence. I don't think, you know, maybe in the business world, but I don't think you see it in the consumer.
Well, on Wall Street, but, you know,
has it affected
business,
it anyway?
Business confidence has to be plummeting because of the lack of capital investment. Yet, you know, to prop up their stocks, you know, whether they be CEOs, CFOs, CIOs, these C-level executives keep saying everything's great and Wall Street just continues to eat it up like a lap dog.
Well, Wall Street supports, you know, they'll manipulate in order to support, you know, because they all work together. They both work together, government and Wall Street. But anyway, let's see if there's anything else interesting in that. I don't know if there's really been any changes at all. Currencies, we talked about that last week. You know, we know that White House favors a weaker dollar, yet it continues to get stronger. I mentioned last week that there would be the head-on collision between Larry Kudlow and President Trump. It seems like Kudlow won temporarily. It looks like President Trump has given up on that intervening in the markets for a week to weaken the dollar. But we'll see how long that lasts. Maybe it'll be just until the rate, to see what the rate cut does to the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting, though, that the dollar is strengthening prior to, you know, unless it's based on future auctions. I don't know. But it's kind of interesting to see it strengthen unless there's, you know, some undercurrent that, you know, he isn't going to cut.
I don't know.
Yeah, so I find it odd that the dollar is strengthening at this point in time to the degree that it has. You know, and gold is not buying into it because it's getting strong. It's going up too. So pretty interesting. There's some major economic metrics worse now than before the last recession. We're going to start in this now and finish it up when we come back from the break. So we're looking for the Fed to launch its first easing cycle in over 10 years. The New York Fed recently slapped down its president, John Williams, in an unprecedented example of the Fed's failure to communicate. Again, for the 50 basis points. We kind of went over this a little bit earlier. And can you add anything more to that before we head into the break, Dave?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I think we've covered the lion's share, you know, of it.
Want to add anything about Singapore and Asia? Oh,
well,
guess
we'll
not.
Talk about it some other time.
In about 2 minutes. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm Melanie Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And heading into the break, we were talking just a little bit, not a whole lot there, but mainly about Singapore's economy. I mean, they're beginning to weaken. They are hugely export dependent, and because of the slowing down in the economy, because of tensions, because of the loss of business confidence, they're beginning to adjust their growth expectations. So their business community has slashed their expectations for the near term economic outlook. So again, just another place in the world that's expecting lower economic numbers expectations. So let's add Singapore to the list. And you know, there's and then JP Morgan Chase and UBS, they're being sued over allegations of foreign exchange rigging in a class action lawsuit seeking more than £1 billion. JP Morgan Chase, UBS, Barclays, Citigroup, Royal Bank of Scotland. Could you figure? I mean, I don't even have to name the names anymore. Everybody knows. Same bank, same time, over and over again. Not only do they rig the foreign exchange markets, but they also rig the precious metals market and every other market that all markets, I guess, are meant to be rigged. But the Royal Bank of Scotland are the other three targets of the UK suit that say pension funds, asset managers, hedge funds, and corporations lost out because of market manipulation between 2007 and 2013. And the lawsuit centers on collusion on foreign exchange trading strategies, for which the European Commission fined Barclays, RBS, Citigroup, JP Morgan, and Mitsubishi Financial total $1.2 billion in May. I'll tell you what, considering the amount of billions of dollars that they should have made, or that they did make, $1.2 billion
is a joke. It's sinful. It's outrageous.
It is. Well, it's just any different than the LIBOR rate. I mean, here the LIBOR rate sets is the financial leader of interest rate for businesses, cities, and states, governments all around the world. It was rigged. Even little Jimmy Geithner came out and said, "Well, I knew about it." It's like, hello. All those contracts should have been voided. It was null and void. It was based on Dave, and what, one person, couple fines, no big deal. Oh, but it was a big deal enough to change an outcome next year. It's disgusting. Go ahead.
Well, it is, and it's the latest in this currency rigging that's already triggered regulatory probes around the world. And billions of dollars in fines, as well as a $2.3 billion settlement last year in the U.S. Michael O'Higgins, he's a pension fund chair who's spearheading the U.K. suit, said, "You know, our message really is really clear. We want markets to work fairly." He said, He said conservatively, "Well, fairly means in their interest." Well, you know, it's one of the cases to be that's being brought under UK legislation that supposedly paves the way for US-style collective actions. Well, sorry to hear that. I'm not sure our model is one to lead by example on, but I guess it is what it is, Melody.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think the funniest thing they ever created was, remember that, was it after, you know, after the quote-unquote Great Recession, government actually had to pass to create a division or a bill or a law so that there was, you had to take care of your customer. You had to treat your customer well. I mean, or something stupid like that. It's just...
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you had to operate in their best interest.
Interests, correct. Thank you.
You know, and even that's been now partially rolled back.
So what have they been doing in the past? Anyway, you know, I talked a little bit about this on Friday because it was published a little early, and I did my program with James Corbett, and we talked about your article that was talking about how American corporations have been buying back trillions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
In their stocks, and largely at the expense of new capital investment, company workers, people, every day, all of us. And I mean, this is again, this is almost the same thing as the, you know, one of the biggest scandals that should be, people should be outraged, but no one's going to say anything because stock markets are making all record highs, Dave. So tell us about your article.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I'll summarize it. The article which appeared on in our blog that was distributed to subscribers last Friday, it's available on our Facebook page, and or you can, as Melody said, go to our website at dgscoins.com and look for the mailbox and sign up for it. You'll have access to it in our website archives. But you know, in the August edition of the Atlantic magazine, Jerry Usim tells us that almost 40 years ago, corporate raiders like the notorious Michael Milken blew onto Wall Street looking to gain control of companies just to sell off their assets, make a quick profit, and then move on to the next unsuspecting company. Well, fast forward to 2019, where another effort's underway to raid corporate assets at the expense of employees, investors, and taxpayers. But this time, Melody, the attack's coming from inside the fort, carried out by the very leaders who were supposed to protect the place. And it's happening under the most harmless of names that you mentioned just a minute ago, stock buybacks. Practice sounds totally normal, like a regularly scheduled oil change on your car. Yet, this practice is anything but normal. Now, before the 1980s, corporations rarely repurchased their own stock. When they did, it was usually to fend off these raiders who were drawn to cash, and a lot of cash, on a company's balance sheet.
Well, not recently. According to the Federal Reserve data I've seen, corporations have put $3.8 trillion into their own stocks since 2010. Now, that's an average of $422 billion a year over the last 9 years, Dave.
Well, that's more than every other type of investor, Melody. Individuals, mutual funds, pension funds, and foreign investors combined. You know, in 2018 alone, total stock buybacks were greater than a whopping $1.1 trillion. Yeah, that's with a T, ladies and gentlemen. And a new article out today suggests that buybacks this year. Initially, it was thought, well, you know, this is, you know, mainly a result of the cash generated by the corporate tax cuts that became effective in 2018. Well, this new article suggests that this year could be as high. So it's not just a one-time, one-year thing. You know, corporations argue that buybacks are an efficient way to return money to shareholders. By reducing the number of shares outstanding in the market, a buyback lifts the price of each remaining share. So other things being equal, you know, I own, you know, the value of what I own has just gotten higher. Now, that may be good for the investor class, but you tell me how it benefits a company's workers and everyday Americans. What's more, you know, that bump in price is often short-lived. A recent study found that 5 years into the future, the stocks of companies that engaged in heavy buybacks like what we're seeing today performed worse for shareholders than the stocks of companies that didn't.
Well, the corporate executives, they like the buybacks, don't they?
God, now there's one class of shareholder that's profited immensely from the temporary price jumps, especially the executives who initiated the buybacks and who know their scope and timing. A 2018 Securities and Exchange Commission analysis reveals that in the 8 days following a buyback announcement, executives, these company executives, on average, sold five times as much stock as they did on an ordinary day. Now, how's that for conflict of interest or insider trading? You know, even the staunchest free market capitalists ought to be outraged. The proliferation of stock buybacks is more than just, it's like another way of rubbing executives' magic lamps. You know, Yassine believes by systematically draining capital from America's public companies, buybacks threaten the competitive prospects of American industry itself and corrupts the whole nature of corporate capitalism.
You know, I'm kind of reminded of an economist, Michael Jensen, who in the early 1980s wrote a paper titled Reflections on the Corporation as a Social Invention. If I recall correctly, it attacked the concept of corporations that had prevailed since the 20s, namely that they existed to serve a variety of constituencies, including employees, customers, stockholders, even the public interest. Instead, Jensen's paper introduced a new principle that would become known as shareholder value.
Yes, shareholder value. You know, under this so-called value, corporate bosses have one job and one job alone, to increase the short-term share price of the company. You know, Yassine says this philosophy had immediate appeal to raiders, and it's easy to see why. I mean, they used it to give, you know, their pillages a fig leaf of legitimacy. Well, I'm just creating shareholder value. You know, and although the raiders were eventually rejected, at least back in the 80s, you know, the idea of shareholder value proved harder to dismiss and is the mainstream practice today. You know, to ward off the hostile takeovers, corporate boards started firing CEOs who didn't deliver on near-term stock price gains. You know, rolling out of a few big heads drove home this point to CEOs. They better start thinking about shareholder value. Now, interestingly, Melody, one of the major principles of shareholder value is that corporate managers' interests should be aligned with shareholders' interests. You know, and to accomplish this goal, you know, boards began giving CEOs large blocks of company stock and stock options as part of their comp packages. This shift was intended to encourage CEOs to maximize returns for shareholders. But in practice, something else happened. The rise of stock incentives happened to coincide with the loosening of SEC rules that govern stock buybacks. According to Yassine, three times between 1967 and 73, we're talking, 40, 50 years ago, the SEC had considered such a rule change, and each time it had deemed the danger of insider market manipulation too great and rejected it. Regrettably, the SEC relented just before CEOs began acquiring even greater shares of their company stock, making such manipulation that much more enticing.
Well, you go on to point out that the abuse of stock buybacks today is so widespread that naming abuse is just a bit like singling out snowflakes for ruining the driveway.
Yeah, you know, it's true. We'll take just one example, and then we'll be probably coming up on a break. You know, some examples are instructive, and we'll take this Craig Menear, the chair and CEO of Home Depot. In February last year, 2018, he and his team mentioned their plan to repurchase approximately $4 billion of outstanding shares during the year. That very same day, he sold nearly 114,000 shares, netting $18 million. The following day, he was granted about 39,000 new shares and quickly unloaded 24,000 of them for a tidy profit of $4.5 million. Now, though Menninger's compensation in the SEC filings was listed as a $11.4 million for 2018, certainly no chump change, the stock sales helped him earn an additional $30 million that year. Just that year. By contrast, the median worker pay at Home Depot is $23,000 a year. That equates to about a little over $11 an hour based on a 40-hour work week. Menninger's official base comp would have earned him about $5,481 an hour, roughly 500 times the median. According to independent research, if the money Home Depot had spent on buybacks had been used to, say, boost worker salaries, each worker would have made an extra $18,000 a year.
Then there's Merck, Dave, the mega pharmaceutical company that is a model of corporate excellence the second half of the 20th century. Yeah.
Well, again, you know, they recently bought back $6.2 billion. You know, it shows from 2008 to 17, the company distributed 133%. Of its profits to shareholders through buybacks and dividends. That included Ken Frazier, their CEO, who has sold almost $55 million in company stock just since last July. It's crazy, Melody. We got a couple of other examples in the article. Even though we're talking a long time about this, relatively speaking, it is a fairly quick read. I think it's really instructive for listeners who are interested in you know, the way our economy is working for and not for everyone, you know, somewhat equally.
Well, you know, and they're not going to do anything about it because this is what is helping to keep the stock markets high. And so there will never be any legislation against it. They won't outlaw it. They should. But gee whiz, you might have that stock market fall a little bit. And then that's when you mess with people's money. That's when they get angry. And of course,
yeah.
You know, of course, they got to make sure that, you know, they don't get lynched. 800-375-4188. If you're buying into the paper market, or I should say, if you want to get out of this silly paper market, give us a call at 800-375-4188. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be stay tuned. Tell me again tonight.
Each and every food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's a small market, easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And go ahead, and in the break, we were talking about how they manipulate gold so much. And yeah, they manipulate it. And you can't have high gold prices. But, you know, it's the canary in the mine. And with everything going on, and the CME chairman, Mr. Duffy, it's been 2 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Been talking about it. He said gold should be $5,000 and $6,000. He's the chairman of the CME. Now, if that guy says it, he knows what he's talking about. And $5,000-$6,000, that was 2 years ago. Look how worse everything has become. And I saw an interesting article today, Dave, and there's no way I could capture it to put it on the newsletter in time. But it talked about all the Latin America countries and, you know, how we're being surrounded and what they're doing and their relationships with China and Russia, and that they're probably more dangerous to America at this point in time than based on those relationships.
Wow.
And what they've done to improve their militaries, how stronger they're becoming militarily. It was kind of an interesting piece. And it's true, we are distracted. We do focus in on Russia, the games, the war games and so forth, the big hot spots, and we don't see what's really brewing underneath. And sometimes those things that are brewing underneath, those are the ones that, you know, will explode and cause you, you know, great harm. So, and, you know, China's warned that, speaking of China, they're warning Hong Kong's unrest has gone far beyond peaceful protest. They've had another chaotic weekday, tear gas clashes illustrated the government's struggle to quell the leaderless, movement. China's top agency overseeing Hong Kong condemned evil crimes, acts committed by radical elements. Well, that's what they think of China. That's why,
yeah, how about
that's
that?
Why they're demonstrating. That's just it. So, of course, China's not going to like it, and, you know, but certainly there's been people arrested, and, you know, their once peaceful protests have certainly no longer that way. And just to recap this before we head on to, you have Moscow, they're arresting their protesters. So, you know, not a lot of people can say a lot of things anymore if you say something they don't like, you know.
It pays to be king or czar.
Yes, it does.
In an unfree nation state, Melody. Coincidentally, Putin was reportedly in St. Petersburg, far away from this protest. He was presiding over some parade featuring 43 ships and 4,000 troops. Jeez.
They've all built up their militaries quite. There was more Afghanistan, I guess. There was some. What happened there? Some sort of. Who were they trying to assassinate?
Well, I think technically he's the vice president. Amrullah Sule. He's the vice presidential candidate. His former intelligence chief of Afghanistan, who happened to be evacuated from the building along with 85 other civilians. He was moved to a safe location. I'm sure the other 85 were on their own. You know, the Taliban and the Islamic State are active in the capital. They've carried out large-scale attacks in Kabul in the past. So, you know, this is just an ongoing, thankfully it's not as frequent as it used to be. It just goes to show just how volatile that corner of the world still is, Melody.
Wow. It is. And but not a lot of information is really given us about what is happening. When's the last time you heard anybody talk about Syria? You know, when was the last time anybody, well, here you are talking about Afghanistan. When's the last time we don't hear anything that happened? We're going to talk about Yemen here shortly, but, you know, not very little news coming out of anywhere overseas with, because they don't want you to know that we're in a war with these countries. And they want you to think that we're out. They want you to think that our troops came home, or a large part of them. They want you to think the only situation we have is at the border, and that might be an important one, but there's a lot of the other things that are going on. And again, these are all distractions. They want you to focus on what they want you to. And I can't ever recall it, Dave, being this, I don't even know what you want to call it, so confusing for so many people, so distracting, to where there have been so many distractions that I can't ever recall a time in the last 25 years that I've been doing this. So.
Yeah, well, you know, social media only, you know, exacerbates that. I mean, with Russia and China and North Korea, excuse me, among, you know, God knows who else out there manipulating, you know, these networks that so many of us now get, you know, a chunk or good chunk of our news from. You know, it's amazing that there's not mass hysteria throughout the world. I mean, maybe we're seeing that. Maybe that's what this is a reflection of, that, you know, we are slowly growing insane. I just really, really am fearful for my children, our children's and their children's future, unless we can somehow, you know, wrestle control, some sense of control. And
you know, you said social media, but I'd also have to say mainstream media. I mean, they're not doing any reporting of the news. They grab a bit of tidbit, and their one and only focus is truly on this administration and Donald Trump. And I mean, there's so much other things that are going on. They have the sound bites, they'll talk briefly, but I mean, it is true, the numbers that they report 24/7 on a stupid tweet. It's like, okay,
we get it.
Word on it. It doesn't have to be 24/7 for a week. And the media is just being led by their nose. They're falling for it. I don't get how they can be so stupid.
It's just another tit for tat.
You know?
You know?
It just baffles me how.
Thank God for local newspapers.
But even
those are controlled now more and more by larger corporate interests. But at least with many local newspapers, whether they be daily or weekly, you know, we're seeing, you know, local news. We're seeing, hopefully it's you know, we're seeing, you know, largely the truth there. These corporate entities wield all-encompassing power anymore. And it really takes, I mean, even the most, I won't say necessarily discerning, those of us who pay, you know, the closest attention to all this stuff, I mean, we scratch our heads far, far too often, you know, wondering, like you've said, how could this be true?
It's a crazy world, easy to get lost in the, and you know, get lost in the untruths, and a lot of people just walk away from it as long as they feel they're not being affected today.
Yep.
As long as they see their bank statements say the same thing or close to the same thing, they're happy, and they can go on, you know, and do what they normally do. So until it actually slams them, you know, we talk about 2x4s floating through the air, as long as one of them finally hits them, they're not going to pay much attention to what's going on. So we encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, don't let that happen to you. Do not let that happen to you. Gold and silver is a great investment, you know, for many reasons. We talk about all those reasons every day on this program. So, and, you know, a lot of other analysts and gold dealers will focus on some sort of an event happening. Well, you know, while you're waiting for that event to happen, you're losing. You're losing your purchasing power. And just like Doug Nolan said, hey, there's plenty of inflation out there. But if you listen to the government lies, yeah, they're still struggling with their number because they rig it. They rig it to be wrong. You know, just like John Williams states, you know, let's look at the real inflation rate. It's much higher than their little paltry, I don't know what it is, 1.8 or 1.5 or whatever it is. It's so stupid. But anyway, I guess we're going to start a new segment today, Dave.
Manic Monday Shorts. I'll mention a couple of noteworthy financial and political briefs. This will only take place, though. We're going to have to pay attention. So are we, actually. It's only going to take place on the fifth Monday of a month. That doesn't happen every month. So we'll try and stay on top of the calendar.
Do you think we can do that, huh?
Time will tell, won't it?
Do you have your 2020 calendar?
Only my phone knows for sure.
Okay. But what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of interesting articles out there that we don't want to spend a lot of time on. And some are interesting. Some are passed by. There's one I was reading today. One today, Dave, would have been perfect for this. It was about how vacations, people are looking for vacations more just, you know, weird, quiet places. There's like, you know, this one home you have to
take library.
You have to take a helicopter to, and it's complete solitude. No iPhones, no nothing, no computers, no nothing. Half of them you have to go to the outhouse. They don't even have running water. People are paying $500, $600, $700 a night or more because they're trying to get this vacation, because now most of your popular vacation destinies are having so many people. How can you even relax when you go on vacation or anything? So they're looking for these truly remote areas. So I know a lot of our listeners have remote areas. There you go. There's your next income. Turn it into a vacation.
I need that link, Melody. It's like you go on TripAdvisor, these other sites, and you know, it's like every hotel, Airbnb, you know, whatever you're looking to rent, the first thing on there is free Wi-Fi. Well, you know what? I want to go on vacation to get away from that. Yeah. You know? So your point's so well taken.
Exactly. But that would have fit perfect here. This is my into this Manic Monday. And this was kind of interesting. A 16-year-old from Pennsylvania. So, of course, everyone knows I'm from Pennsylvania and you're in Pennsylvania. 16-year-old Kyle is known by his computer handle Bugga. Bugga.
I thought it was Bugga.
And he won $3 million as a grand prize. And I guess he created Fortnite World Cup in New York. What did he do? He created a game.
Fortnite. He won playing, competing against others in the video game called Fortnite, which is, you know, it's the video game of the ages for, you know, I'm not even going to say just teens, because I understand, you know, that it's big among adults. But anyway, way to go, Kyle.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That's a lot of money.
$3 million. It's not chump change.
I wonder if I could learn how to play that.
Absolutely. No,
well, tell us about Saudi Arabia.
Well, Saudi Arabia may not be concerned about the millions of starving civilian in Yemen it's responsible for in its four-year bombing campaign there against the Houthis, but it's understandably nervous about its dependence on the Strait of Hormuz for shipping oil. But its plan to export more of that via the Red Sea may not bring the security it's seeking. For a start, the east-west pipeline that's being expanded was attacked by drones in May, and oil that goes via the Red Sea faces its own bottleneck in the Bab el-Mandab.
Well, you know, we were talking about, you know, it just irritates me, all these mergers and acquisitions and so forth, but they're big. Pfizer's is in talks to merge its off-patent drug unit. They just make me, I don't even want to, it just irritate me. They're businesses, they're financial, and, you know, it just shows us that business competition just continues to get closer and closer to being an obsolete concept, Dave, and that's, you know, we have, anyway, just tell us about millionaire women. I like that one better.
Well, last, Melody, you'll appreciate this. Millionaire women out-earn millionaire men in the U.S. That's according to the IRS. Women with wages of at least $1 million earned an average of a little over 2.5 mil versus the little under 2.5 mil for men in 2016. Now, while there are far more male top earners, the number of women in the millionaire club climbed in 2016 to 17,600 from just 6,600 9 years earlier. Now, to my lovely wife, I'm sure you're listening to this, honey. Yes, I'll make dinner, vacuum, do the laundry, and watch our grandson just be out there earning your millions.
I wonder why that increased from since 2009. That's kind of interesting. But we don't have time for that, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. That's too bad.